This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
There's a reason why you should never work with animals, children, or siblings. Murphy's Law Radio Show, only on Joy 94.9.
Good morning, Annis Murphy.
Good morning, Dean Murphy. Dollface. Good morning, Joysters.
Oh, we're minus Tim, our producer, this morning.
Good morning, Timothy.
Good morning. He's home in bed sick. Everyone's caught that lurgy at the moment, haven't they?
It's just like old school in
it's
here.
It's old school in here. We've got no one to... Us. Well, he's good, Tim, because he laughs at all our stupid stuff and makes us feel like we have an audience.
What are we going
to
do now?
We have to rely on each other, which could go horribly pear-shaped. How was your week?
Busy.
Busy?
Yes.
Busy as a beaver.
Busy as a beaver.
Heard you did another fabulous little stand-up.
Well, I did do stand-up again, ladies and gentlemen. That's number 5.
I keep asking you this. Are we going to get the Joysters together one night?
Oh, at some stage, dog.
Yeah.
But based on Wednesday night's performance, I'd say no.
Did you bomb?
No, I didn't bomb.
Ooh.
It was a funny night.
Controversial.
It's a funny old world.
It's a funny world.
But wasn't my best out of my 5.
Oh, well, I hope you can lift your game this morning.
I hope so too. I'm a little weary.
Little weary? Yes. Oh, don't tell us you're tired. Are you not going to come out with the goods this morning?
Yes, of course.
Is it over already before it even got started?
Well, it will be if you carry on like that.
Hey, listen, we've got a massive show. Huge, Anna Murphy. You know, sometimes here we complain. You and I, we complain.
Oh, we complain
sometimes
about
we
everything.
Don't have anything to give away.
What the hell's going on there?
I don't know what's happened, but it's like the prize cupboard fell open. And just landed on our desk because we've got so many prizes to give away this morning. It's
ridiculous.
That's
right, Joysters. They've heard our cries of misery.
I reckon there's almost a prize for every single one of our listeners this morning.
Poor Joysters. They don't get anything anymore. What are we expected to do?
No. So that's coming up, and heaps of gossip too. I want to get started. I've not watched an episode of The Bachelor. I want to talk about that next.
Okay.
Can I? Just want to talk about, but I want to do what most people do on Facebook.
Oh.
Which is...
What's that? Which is gym selfies?
No, not here.
Photo food?
No, foods. No. I want to have an opinion about something that I don't know much about.
Oh, that's you on a normal day. That's
but
not
I'm
Facebook.
Going to have an opinion about this, The Bachelor.
Oh.
Because I haven't watched any of it. I've just seen stuff and bits and heard interviews with him and seen like the ads, and I can pretty much keep up with what's going on, sort of. Can I just throw it out there? Because I said to my housemate who's been watching it, and I just happened to sit down at this one point, and I said, oh, who's this chick? And he goes, oh, that's possibly the one out of the two that he might go for.
Yeah.
And I said, but he's kissing her. And he goes, yeah, he's been kissing all of them. But I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, he's kissing the other one as well.
Yeah, that's...
So basically on national television, this dude, Richie's two-timing people.
Well, right, he doesn't
and betraying
just two-time.
To them and not telling them the truth, because he's either into one or he's not into the other, but he's still getting a passion with this one before he commits to that one.
I know, it's disgusting.
It's like it's this whole open relationship thing before he's actually got involved with any of them.
Yeah, it doesn't rock my world.
It's weird. And all these slutty chicks are digging it. Like, and digging him, because he's just a big playboy who, like, is pretty good looking.
Yeah, it's a very strange concept. Like, I know they balanced it out by doing The Bachelorette, and somehow that just seems a little bit better. I'm not sure.
I don't know. That just seems like a gangbang.
It's actually gross.
It's actually really gross. I'd like to hear from any other Joysters if you think it's really ridiculous. Like, that, and what's that other stupid show that's been on at the moment that's just finished? What's that one?
Married at First Sight. Now, we did say, I did actually say, because Adam Samuel, good morning, Adam Samuel, who's going to be doing our news. Yeah. He actually came in and said something about The Bachelor, and could you imagine if there was a gay Bachelor? And I'm still reeling from the dreadful representation of the gay community on that Married at First Sight.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Well, see, that kind of, to me, The Bachelor, gay Bachelor, is kind of more true to life. we were talking just before because I haven't seen a lot of episodes of The Bachelor.
Like any.
And I just sort of gave my little rundown of the fact that I think it's really ridiculous. That this guy who's like cheating with other women on television.
I think it's gross too. Because like if you're dating someone and you're at the passiona stage, you'd like to assume that they're not at the passiona stage with 14 other girls.
He's swapping spit with all of them.
It's
and
gross.
Loving it. Loving himself sick. And anyway, I thought the whole thing was... crap.
Anyway,
so we threw it out there.
Mention about, yes, but we've made mention What did you throw out there?
Well, you threw out there about the gay bachelor thing. What would happen if there was a gay bachelor? Yes. Apparently there already is a
show like that. Blair from Altona Meadows, good morning,
has said
Blair Murphy is a gay bachelor. Just started airing in the US. It's called Finding Prince Charming. Oh,
like a needle in a haystack.
And hosted by Lance Bass.
Oh.
Seen the first episode and not sure it's going to be a great representation of the gay community.
No,
and we've been corrected again by Cam, who's also said there is a gay bachelor, and Keep Up.
Oh, Keep Up. Okay.
Well, it's hard if you don't have cable television.
No, I think we should probably keep up. It's the Prince Charming thing. Thank you, Cam. Listen,
we've been schooled.
We have been this morning, and that's probably because we don't have our producer here. We can throw that disclaimer out that anything that goes wrong or comes out of our mouth this morning, which
absolutely
is not quite right, we don't have a producer.
We'll call it Freaky Friday.
We've got no one to pull us up on it.
Nobody.
Murphy's Law this morning. Delta Goodrum there. I've been listening to her Wings of the Wild CD, actually, which is unusual for me.
It is.
I'm not really whatever. There's some good tracks on there.
I've come around. I think Delta on The Voice has done a lot for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, I now don't cringe every time I like it. But see, we know what happened with Madonna. It took me forever to get on board with Madonna.
Yes, it did.
The slow burners are better. No, Taylor's gone again.
Oh,
see, this is the problem.
I can't
I was only on her for a year.
Yeah.
But Delta and I, this has been a long time coming.
Yeah.
So I'm a massive fan now.
Good. Have you
Does
got the album?
Care
Have you
about
got the
that?
Album?
No.
No, so you're
I
not
haven't.
That big a fan, are
no,
you?
No, I'm not that big a fan.
No, but there are some good tracks on
just
that.
Just talking garbage.
Wings of the Wild. I think that she tries to go too deep, though. You know, she tries to be too earthy, but she's not really that earthy.
I think sometimes I need to try and get a bit deeper. Because I feel like...
What, with your voice?
I feel like...
So like Barry.
No, not my voice.
Your soul.
I feel like I'm really kind of like top lining a lot. Like just about as
shallow,
as, shallow as an ashtray.
Oh, dear.
And I sound like I've eaten an ashtray today too, don't I?
Yes, you do,
Good morning,
actually.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I've got a little bit of a dilemma.
What's the dilemma?
That you might be able to help me out with.
Dear.
So I coach these kids, right? And I've got a squad of 11-year-old girls.
Yes, you do.
And they're gorgeous
yes.
in their own way, but they know everything. And
of course they do.
Yes, of course they do. And one of them's taken it upon herself to, about 3 weeks ago, she said, I showed my teacher a photo of you and I think you and her would be really good together. Right. And that was it. And
right.
I went, oh, okay, yeah, that's nice, whatever. I said, oh, that's lovely. Is she a nice teacher? Yeah, she's lovely.
This is so cute.
Yeah, so anyway, I just thought that would be it. Anyway, so
oh dear.
She's apparently gone back and told the teacher that I thought that she sounded really nice. Anyway, the teacher has then seen a photo. She showed her a photo of me, and the teacher is like, oh, he looks very nice. So she's come back and she goes, so last night she's like, so what kind of, I'm not going to show you a photo of her just yet, but what kind of girl do you like?
Oh.
And this is getting more awkward by the second because I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, you should just say I like boys.
No, I was playing along with it, and this is the problem I got because I didn't think we'd go this far.
No.
So I didn't think I needed to explain to a whole gaggle of 11-year-old geese that I'm a flaming homosexual.
No, well, you didn't need to phrase it probably
but, you know,
like that.
You know, I wouldn't say that to them. Hey, look at me, show tunes. But... I sort of got into this bit of predicament because then she said, oh, so what kind of girl do you like? And I'm thinking back to when I actually like girls.
Oh, that's...
I said, I'd like girls with blonde hair. And she sort of gave me that frown look, like wrong.
Oh,
I go,
wrong answer.
And brown's okay too. Right? And she goes, what length? So I go, long. She goes,
All right.
Right, nods her head, And I go, and she goes, anything else? I go, oh, well, she'd have to have a nice personality. And so all of a sudden, and then she's gone, well, this is my teacher, and flashed me the teacher, right? And she goes, and I'll be telling her tomorrow that you like her hair. And I've told her that you know. So she's setting me up on this whole date.
Dear.
I don't know how far I can drag this. Do I need to come forward?
Well, I'm not really sure.
I don't know. I'd throw it out to the Joyces. I think they're usually good with advice like this.
I think honesty is the best policy.
Honesty is the best policy, and I feel like
it's good for. We should be encouraging our children to be open about
You haven't met
things.
My 11-year-old kids.
You're just
so if I tell one, then I've got to tell them all, and then it will be like they'll sit, try and set me up.
That'll with
their uncles,
yeah,
and it'll be the thing. It'll be the gay thing.
Oh, well.
I don't
know. It's gorgeous that she likes you enough to do
yes,
that.
Yes, I think so too.
And I like how you said to me before, and the teacher won't know. I'm like, the teacher would know.
I felt like saying, does he have a brother? We were talking just before that last song about my little 11-year-old girl who's bailed me up and wants to set me up with her straight teacher at school, who's pretty. Not my type.
Not your type, no.
But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should come clean. I think I will on the next one. I think it's gone a little bit far now that, you know.
I think you'll be surprised. I think that this whole thing is like her way of just trying to get you to come clean.
Do you think so?
On the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay,
because they would have all talked.
Oh, they're cunning.
They are.
Oh, they are.
And this message came in morning rap bags. I think the kids and teacher are taking the mickey out of you. They clearly know you're a big homo. They've seen a picture of you and heard you speak. Hello, what? Sister. It's so obvious you're flaming. Wow.
That's,
hey, what
thanks.
He said.
Oh, yeah, great.
I love that.
Is it really that obvious?
Oh. No, really?
Joking.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just reckon you come clean.
I think I should.
Just next time you see her, just go, oi. I like boys.
Oh, like that.
Oi.
Oi. Oi, I like boys. A sex-mad tortoise, more than 100 years old, more than 100 years old,
100.
Has single-handedly saved his species from extinction.
Oh my
Diego God. Has fathered 800 babies over a year, turning the tides for the species on the island of Espanola in the Galapagos Islands off the coast of South America.
Can we have that again?
That's a tongue twister,
like,
isn't it?
As much as I'm enamored with Randy... oh, sorry, Randy Diego. I like hearing you say Galapagos.
The Espanola in the Galapagos Islands of the coast of South America. He's very sexual. Active
he's
now for
very sexual.
He's 100 years old. He's just,
and he's
just putting
tortoise.
It away. He's just putting it away. And it couldn't have been quick.
No, that's just my point. He's managed to get.
It takes him 5 years to get on top of them.
Baby, exactly.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's given me really bad visuals.
No, but it's actually really inspired
me. Think about a tortoise.
Diego's like he's an inspiration to all of us. Don't you think?
Still getting them away 100 at 100.
Putting it away at 100.
I'm feeling uncomfortable.
In the wheelchair. Colostomy bag. we were talking a little while ago. Sorry, I had to move the car so we couldn't talk in between that. But we were talking
so
a little while ago about
two today.
Cars to move. It's very hard. Actually, three tracks, about 9 minutes.
Yes.
Anyway.
Does everybody like hearing the nuts and bolts of this show?
Little 11-year-old girl trying to set me up on a date with her school teacher.
That's right.
Who is a female, and no problem with that. I'm just not into them.
No. At all?
No. I have been in the past, but now I'm not.
No. That ship has sailed, hasn't it, Joel?
Ship has sailed. Yes, I was the captain of that ship for a while. But
you were, weren't you? You got off that boat. That's a weird analogy.
Brett has sent through a message.
Yeah,
he's obviously
confused.
A straight guy.
I don't know. He says, I like men too. Give it a go. Buy men, make the best lovers.
Thanks. I'll take that on board.
Are you going to be more flexible in your approach, Dean Murphy? Or you're pretty much that's done and dusted, isn't it?
Dull. Only when I need to be. Here, I've got a little story for you, Anna Murphy. You know how last week we were bagging out the Apple iPhone, the next one, 7, that's coming out, and it has the, you know how we've lost the strap and we've lost
cords.
The connection bit?
Yes. So right. They're going to, so put it into words that people understand, earpods.
Earpods. So you've got your headphones with no cord,
yes.
Right? So the earpods. But here's what's happened. A week later, now see, the research gone into this thing was amazing because... They didn't think about this, did they?
No.
So a week later, after we're, we've just talked about it and there's been a launch and whatever. I think it's been launched today officially. Someone's worked out that AirPods get lost quite easy because there's no cord attached to the phone.
No.
So they can fall out and you can cost yourself a couple of $100 because you lose them.
Ridiculous money grabbing.
So what they've done now is they've decided for just a low, low price of $10, you can also buy an AirPod strap.
A strap.
Which is a cord.
It's a cord.
Okay, so we took away the cord because that was their big feature.
We've taken away the cord.
Now we're putting the cord back.
But you can buy a cord
back.
But
the cord actually doesn't go to the phone. It just hangs from AirPod to AirPod, ear to ear, right? So around your neck, right, without the cord that went in the middle bit.
Do you know what they should have done?
What?
They should have just worked on the actual cord that you usually have, not tangling.
Yeah. Hey.
That would have been brilliant.
Everyone would have gone crazy.
You know, because I don't understand what happens, but that, like, you just look at it the wrong way, and then you're 10 minutes of untangling yes. the stupid cord.
Yes.
But now we have to get a leash for them.
We've got a leash.
I'm not getting. I'm not upgrading to a new phone.
I don't think you can afford to.
No, I can't. Anyway. That's
We have very blessed. We have some great interviews in the studio on a Friday morning. Actually, we don't have a lot of interviews at all in the studio in the morning because no one gets out of bed.
No one knows. No one knows.
We have Carita Farah Spencer. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you,
Dean? I'm fantastic.
Look, if people aren't familiar with your work, you're a singer, you're an actor, you do cabaret,
I'm a triple threat.
Comedy, you do everything.
Yes, I do everything. It's true.
Tell us a little bit. You've got. We're going to talk about your show, which is coming up very soon. But it's just that I've looked on, because I always Wikipedia people. God. Have to. Yes. Got to do it
You've
in the morning.
You've been Wikipedia.
You've been Wikipedia. You're number 3, by the way, on Wikipedia.
Oh,
under your
what?
Name. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really? Number
yeah.
3. How
and I was reading through it this morning.
To change that.
I was reading through it. There's a list. A list goes on forever of the things you've done. I just want to dumb it down to like 3 of your highlighted things over your career that you loved.
God, 3 highlights. Oh, look, the most recent would be performing in Ladies in Black, which was the new Tim Finn musical.
Oh, yeah.
Which has taken Australia by storm, it would seem. We've only done 2 seasons so far, one in Brisbane, one in Melbourne, which both sold out.
Yep.
Then we won a Helpman Award for the best new Australian work.
And congratulations,
now,
by the way.
And now we're bringing the show back to Brisbane, Melbourne. We're adding in Sydney and we're doing a stint in Canberra as well. So I'm really excited about that one. That's
Tim
been,
Finn.
Yeah, and an original musical, you know, with Tim Finn.
Finn.
I know,
love
who doesn't
him.
Love Tim Finn? He's brilliant.
Yeah.
So, 6 months in a leaky boat.
I know.
Love it.
He's done
is
more
he,
than
is he actually,
that.
I know, I probably, I know.
He has.
I'm thinking split ends days. That's how old I am. Was he, how good was he to work with? Like, he's a bit of a master with music, isn't he?
Well, we were all a bit starstruck, as you would expect. And he was in the rehearsal process the whole time.
Yep.
But I found it really great because whilst I am a singer and an actor and I, you know, music theatre, I'm in that area of work.
Yeah.
I'm not a diehard music theatre fan, so I kind of really liked his approach, which was about the music and the feel of it as opposed to it sounding like a music theatre song.
Okay,
does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's not writing songs that are a traditional music theatre style.
Yeah.
He's writing songs that are stories.
Yeah.
So the style, you know, of the voice and, you know, each person was encouraged to use their natural voice and the character's voice as opposed to singing it in a music theatre style, which can sound a little generic.
Yeah.
Some people would think I'm a heathen for saying that.
No, I agree. I actually agree.
Yeah.
And so hearing Australian voices and Australian accents, but not in that twee kind of, you know, oh, we're Aussies, you know, kind of way. Not like
but
that.
But you do it well. If you had to do it, you do it well.
Actually, there is one song in it that is a bit like that. It's called He's a Bastard.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, you've got
to
bring it down.
Like that.
Yeah, of course. Can't get away with it any other way.
So being multi-talented as you are, performer, actor, singer, writer, teacher, artist, director, wife, mother of 2.
Busy.
Nutcase. Add that to the list.
Which is your favourite? Because it's hard. Like a lot of people say, well, what is your favourite? Usually people with your talents have a certain something that's their strength. What is your strength?
I think it is the kind of genre of cabaret because I can combine my music, my theatre and my own kind of, you know, my own kind of humour and view on the world. And I really like that I'm not sort of having to be doing something in someone else's style or in someone else's way. It's kind of, there's a rebel in me and cabaret kind of suits that.
There certainly is.
There
I was
no rules.
Fortunate enough to meet Carita last year and then got introduced to this particular show, which you're bringing back for the Fringe, aren't you, next week? Larry Paradiso and the fabulous Dame Farah, which we did actually talk about on the show last year.
So you've actually seen it?
Twice.
Wow. Twice. Anna Murphy's still of approval. Yeah, twice.
If I could have actually got there 3 times or 4 times, I'm going again next week. It's the funniest show of all time. Could you please, how did these characters come?
How did it happen? Oh, God. Well, I mean, this show is a double bill with myself. Yeah. So I basically do, it's 2 full halves and an interval in
between.
It's
full on.
So it's a big night.
Yeah, it is a big night.
And the first character that I do is called the fabulous Dame Farah. And
she's heaven. You guys, everybody would love her.
Yeah, she's camp as. Mm. Like, I've been described previously as a mix between Shirley Bassey and Dawn French. So she's kind
very
of...
Very oh, wow. Good. That is
a, she's yeah. a nut, you know, but that's a good. Diva. A diva from hell.
She's heaven. I loved her.
Yeah, so I do a set of music and she puts on a show, basically, and she's got a serious, you know, kind of... problem with alcohol, so she ends up.
No wonder you loved it.
Yeah. Oh, look.
Joking, so, just joking.
Spirits.
Yeah, so she usually ends up in her undies or something. Like, oh, it's good. Just, you know, yeah. It's mad. But she belts out some tunes. So
she does.
Awesome. So I love doing the dame because she's, you know, it lets me be that kind of ridiculous,
like operatic
kind of.
Big,
yeah, just sing those big songs, and you know, it's really fun. And I play with a really incredibly talented piano player,
yes.
Kim, and he's. He's quite a bit younger than I. And so the dame has a lot of fun with that as well.
She's
got a gorgeous young man on stage with her. So that's really fun. And, yeah, she's just a trainer.
How did you develop her? Like, where did she come from?
I built her for a show in Brisbane because I used to live in Brisbane called Women in Voice, and it's a very popular cabaret series that happens yearly in Brisbane. And I'll sound like a terrible name dropper, but people like Kate Miller Heidke, Katie Noonan, okay. The Kransky sisters.
Big ones, big names.
Yeah, we're all Brisbane girls. And yeah. So we started, you know, we were doing this kind of cabaret stuff where we'd do a 20-minute spot each, and it was always a great night to be able to try new material and, you know, kind of have a bit of fun. And so I did this set one day with this character and I just sang. She didn't talk. She just kind of mumbled into the microphone. And because she couldn't speak, but she could belt out these big tunes because I just wanted to do all those Shameless kind of, you know.
Here I am, listen.
No Regrets and all those kind of big songs. And so it was just an excuse really to find a way that would allow me to do a twist on it. So I created this drunk character and the audience just went nuts for it.
Yeah.
So I developed her over a number of years and just basically started doing gigs and trying out material. And
she looks like she's so much fun to play. Like
she
you
is.
Look like you just like
she's
would
a lot
be
of
in
fun.
Heaven.
Yeah.
Because she's just like out there. It's
and
brilliant.
She's very, she's kind of just very easy, which is scary because I often feel like I'm my mother. After too many drinks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I have that feeling that she's just right there in my,
yeah.
inside me. Like it's not a stretch. And
I love
so
that.
It's just that thing of when you play drunk, which is one of the funnest things as an actor to do. When you play drunk, you just have permission to do anything.
There's anything.
There's no boundaries. So I've
so
sometimes.
Good.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then this other character, because half time, we have another character comes out, Larry Paradiso.
Yeah, Larry.
He's revolting.
Oh, you need that though, don't you?
Well, they are polar opposites, and that's what I really like. The dame is this, you know, she's a hideously flawed character, but just lovable for all of her nonsense and her disaster that she is. And then Larry is an entertainer. They're both entertainers, you know, they're both there to do their best show. That's their whole point.
Yeah.
And then Larry comes out, and he is essentially he's a big Vegas star. And so he is perfection. You know what I mean? In his own mind. He is
so
perfection.
Wrong.
So he's the opposite of her. She's full of like foibles and, you know, neuroses and all of this. And he is just full of complete and utter showbiz gold.
Yeah.
Love it.
And so he's just doing a routine on the audience.
Oh,
and
it
he's
just
sounds great. I'm actually really looking forward to it.
And his whole point is to seduce every woman in the audience, and that's what he goes about doing.
Oh, it's heaven.
And quite often, I know you say he's revolting, but this is what is so funny for me on the inside performing it, is that when you kind of sell this showbiz shtick of, you know, and it's classic, it's Elvis, it's Engelbert Humperdinck, it's Robbie Williams, it's
everything.
All of them rolled into one big fat bundle, literally.
Love it.
And you watch women kind of respond and swoon. And it is bizarre because I'm going, this is so funny. Like I'm just selling you the pill.
Yeah.
And that's what all those
and they all fall
do
for it
over years.
That's
and
what
years
I need to be doing.
You
need to
get do.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Now, I think should. Can we get
week,
some dates?
Yeah, so next Friday night. It's one show only.
One show only, which is next Friday night.
Yes, where's 23rd. It taking place?
It's at the National Theatre in St Kilda, that beautiful,
yeah, yeah, beautiful
big old
one.
Gorgeous.
Awesome, great
so,
place.
And I saw it last year at the Galleon Cafe. So there was just a small venue and it was amazing there. So I can't wait to see it on the
Where can
stage.
People go for tickets?
They can go online and just go straight to the National.
Yep.
National Theatre. They can also go to the Fringe Festival
okay,
website
yeah, cool.
and just search up Larry and it'll come up
Excellent.
Under Larry.
Larry Paradiso.
Larry Paradiso.
And the fabulous Dame Farrar. Thank you, Carita.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Carita. It's Spencer. Great. Can't wait to see it. Do we get
Yay.
Like VIP special
yes,
back to
course
stage
you
pass?
Do. Yes, you can come through.
Wait.
You can come through the back door.
Honestly,
great.
Do yourselves a favour just to sound like Molly Meldrum for a minute. I'll just say the title again, Larry Paradiso and the fabulous Dame Farrar. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for your time. Thank you.
Guys.
Something you wouldn't know about us, we have a great aunt out in Warburton who's very wise. And she usually if I need to find out something and get her an opinion, a wise opinion, I go to her, I turn to her. So I ventured out there. Well, this week I was a little bit confused over the plebiscite and, you know, what took place. Obviously, it's not happening anymore.
And
it's so confusing. It gets confused. So I thought I'd get it all sorted out from Auntie Hilda. This is what happened. Hi, Auntie Hilda. How are you today?
I'm breathing.
You look great.
Oh, I look like an old leather boot with emphysema. But thanks for not noticing.
So, Auntie Hilda, you're so wise. What's your thoughts on the plebiscite for gay marriage and the drama around it this week?
Well, it's like political spider web, the whole gay marriage thing, isn't it?
Mm.
On one hand, you have our Prime Minister, who not since the last performance of Pippin at the Warburton RSL Club have I been so disappointed in. I mean, you can tell that if he had his way, he'd give you homos gay marriage, but his nuts are so squirrel-gripped by the National Party and the right-wing Christian nutcases that his eyeballs are almost popping out. He didn't want a plebiscite, but really, it was his only way to try and appease everybody. In doing so, satisfying no one. Much like my ex-husband, Jake. Terrible in the sack, that
one. Oh, Auntie.
Oh, then you have old man Boobs Shorten, who looks like he's been breastfeeding a herd of goats. Well, he and his Labor groupies have squashed the plebiscite chances, and although he says he's done it for the kids who may be victimised, he's really only done it to make Malcolm look weak as raccoon piss.
Oh, dear. So what now? What do you think?
Well, the plebiscite is as dead as a chook in a foxhole, and you're not going to get a conscious vote, which is probably a good thing. Why would you want 200 straighty 180s who have never found the pleasure of their own prostate, never been whipped on stage at the Greyhound by Miss Candy and have never clippered their fun parks? Why on earth would you leave such an important decision up to them? No, my little gay posse, it looks like you're just going to have to make the trip across the Tasman if you want to lock in your hottie.
Oh, Auntie Hilda, such wise, wise words. Thanks a lot. I'll catch you next week.
Ciao.
Murphy's Law. One listen and you'll feel so much better about your own siblings.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.